So this morning, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll start a new perek. It's called Rabbi Eliezer Demila on Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph. And this perek focuses primarily on Mila B'Shabbos, when the eighth day of the child's birth, it falls on Shabbos. And what are you allowed to violate, and what are you allowed to prepare for the Mila? What health precautions are allowed to override the Shabbos? And the Mishnah starts by telling us that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im lo heviu kli me'er of Shabbos, mevio b'Shabbos. That there's something called an izmal, which is a knife that's designated for Mila, and if they didn't bring it through a Rishus HaRabim before Shabbos, and we're talking about a Shabbos bris, then you'll bring it through Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. You'll violate the Shabbos because the Torah says you have to do this Mila on Shabbos. And then Rabbi Eliezer adds another interesting adjective or qualification, and he says that when he's carrying this Izmal through Rishus HaRabim because it wasn't brought as it should have been on Erev Shabbos, then Megula, it should be exposed. Everybody should be able to see what he's carrying, and they'll understand why he's carrying it. Ubisakana, there were different periods in Jewish history where the Goyim prohibited circumcision at the pain of death, and it was very dangerous. Ismechaseu, then he'll cover over the knife so that the Goyim won't find him. But Alpi Eidim, he should make sure that before he leaves, wherever he starts from, there are two witnesses who can testify that what's underneath this concealed cover is indeed a knife for Mila. Otherwise, people might suspect him that he's carrying something in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. V'od Amar Rabbi Lazar, Karsim Eitzim Lasos Pchamim Kidei Lasos Barzel. If there is no knife, then he can do step by step every part of the process that's necessary to create a knife. He'll chop down trees and feed the fire, and from the coals he'll able to heat up a piece of metal and sharpen that metal and make it into a knife. All this is allowed on Shabbos if need be, because there's no Izmal. Now, this is going to be the famous Shita of Rabbi Eliezer called Machshirei Mila. Anything that is necessary to set up Mila, Dochim Es HaShabbos, they override the Shabbos. Now the Mishnah records a dissenting view. Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva Kol Malacha She'efshal La'sosa Me'erev Shabbos Eina Doches HaShabbos. Any malach that could have been easily, without any loss, prepared on Erev Shabbos, for example, bringing the Izmal from Erishus HaYochid through Erishus HaRabim to the shul where the meal will take place, or preparing and creating this knife, all that could have been done before Shabbos. And that's not Docha Shabbos. What is Docha Shabbos? Efshar La'sosam Erev Shabbos. That which was impossible to have been done on Erev Shabbos. The meal itself, for example, which has to be done on the eighth day, which is Shabbos. That cannot be done on Erev Shabbos. Doches HaShabbos. Now let's talk about the fact that Rabbi Eliezer advocates, if situation is normal, that you conceal the Izmal that you're carrying through Rosh Hashanah. Iboilu, the Gemara vacillates. Taimud Rabbi Eliezer, what is the reason that Rabbi Eliezer would like the Izmal, in a case of Sakon, again, it has to be concealed, but in a case where there's normal situations prevailing, then he has the Izmal exposed. Why is that? Number one, is it because Mishum Chibuv Mitzvah, that we want to indicate how wonderful and how endearing this mitzvah is, that will even violate the Shabbos for the sake of this mitzvah. O Dilma Mishum Chashoda. Has nothing to do with Chibuv Mitzvah. It's just that people might suspect him of carrying something which is not for the purpose of milah. We want to expose the knife so that everyone sees that this is the moel who is carrying in Rosh Hashanah in order to implement the circumcision. L'mayinaf k'mina, what would be the difference? L'asuye mechusa al pi eidim. Would he be allowed to cover the ismul for whatever purpose? Maybe he's protecting it. And there are two witnesses who are accompanying him who know exactly what he's carrying. Iyamet mishum chibuv mitzvah. If he's trying to publicize how beautiful this mitzvah is, how important it is, then megula in mechusalo. Under no circumstances do we want him to cover it. But if you take the second approach, mishum chashada, that the reason why Rabbi Eliezer insists that you expose the knife is because people might suspect him of carrying something else, then in this case, afilu mechusa shaper, don't be fine, even though it's covered, because he has two witnesses who can testify exactly what was clothed by this covering. Itmar, Omrab Levi lo amara, Rabbi Eliezer el chibuve mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer was not concerned about chashoda, about people suspecting him. That problem could easily be solved with two witnesses. No, Rabbi Eliezer wants the knife exposed for chibuv mitzvah purposes. And Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a braisa to support this. Mevio megola, megula, v'ein mevio mechusa, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Apparently this braisa is even more emphatic about the fact that Rabbi Eliezer requires that you have Megula, and that's for the purpose of Chibuv Mitzvah. Omar of Ashi, Masnisa Nami Deka. You could really come to this conclusion with a careful reading of our Mishnah. The Ketani, it says in our Mishnah, quote, Ubishasa Sakona Mechaseu Al Pi Eidim. If circumstances require of it because of a dangerous decree about milah on Shabbos or milah in general, then and only then you cover it and you have the two edim who are there to testify that this is an ismul. But sakana in only because of the danger, shalom sakana lo. If it wouldn't have been a dangerous situation, then we would not cover the ismul. Why not? Shmamina mishum chibuve mitzvah, shmamina. Tanya Idoch, we have on the other hand an additional braisa that we can quote here in this context. Mevio Megula Ve'enu Mechusa, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yudah Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Nogim Hayu B'Shasa Sakonashi Mevio Mechusa Alpi Eidim. Once again, the braisa insists on a strict distinction between Shalom B'Shasa Sakona and Sasa Sakona. If it was Shalom B'Shasa Sakona, then it's Megula, and if it's B'Shasa Sakona, then it's going to be mechusa to protect us from the danger of the goyim, and we have the additional proviso that he should appoint two edim to testify that what he's carrying publicly through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is in fact the knife of Mila. Iboilehu edim dika amar. If you take a look at this braisa, it says that he should appoint two witnesses. And the Gemara vacillates how to interpret the word Eidim. Eidim means that all told there'll be two, or Eidim means another two. Meaning, Iyu v'chad, is it sufficient that he will testify on his own behalf, and he adds one other witness to testify, all told we have two. O Dilma, perhaps, hu utre, he's got to appoint two witnesses besides himself. For him to testify about himself would not be reliable because he is what we call nogeba edus, you know, he has vested interests here, and we don't want to rely on his testimony, we need objective testimony. Therefore, he should appoint two other edim. Toshma, let's go back to our Mishnah. Ubesakana mechaseu al pi edim. That if need be, because of the sakana situation, he has to cover the ismul that he's carrying through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he needs Eidim. Iyamet bishlema hu utre. If I understand it to mean he has to come with two other witnesses, Shapir, I understand why the Mishnah used the word Eidim. He's not an aid, he cannot be a witness, and therefore he needs Eidim. He needs two other witnesses besides himself. But if you're telling me that it's he and another person, what does the word Eidim mean in this context? You can't call him an aid. And the Gemara reinterprets the Mishnah, Re'uyim lahayid b'makom acher. In other words, we don't need two witnesses, but we need two people to testify who, in another situation, in another scenario, would be qualified witnesses. For example, a child or a masachi bekubia, any one of the various disqualifications would not be accepted. But he himself, the moel, he qualifies for testimony. Now, if it were a monetary testimony, that's called dini mominos, or it was a matter of a capital crime, some sort of punishment that has to be made out, we would need two witnesses to the exclusion of any person who's part of the story itself, because he's no gevedus, he cannot testify. But here we're not talking about not dini mominos, not dini nefashos, we're only talking about isurim. Is there a violation of an isur, or is there not? We have a principle called Eid Echa Nem Bisurin, and one witness is believed, even if he is no gabadov. For example, a shochet is believed to say that he shechted properly, because that's only a matter of isur. There's no momino here, there's no nefashos, there's no malchus, and a person can testify about his own shechita. Just like a woman who comes back from the mikvah will testify that she was tovelis b'mikvah. Seirachinet Bisurin allows even for the person himself to be a qualified witness. That's called Nemonis. That's the credibility the Torah vests in one witness, even if it's himself, in Isur Vehetu. So here the whole issue is to determine whether or not there was, chas v'shalom, a violation of Shabbos. He's believed to say about himself that what he carried was for the necessity of the Bris Milah. It was in his... Furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer says, if you don't have a knife, you could do whatever is necessary to create a knife and manufacture it on Shabbos itself. Torah Rabbanan bimkomo shel Rabbi Eliezer yukarsim etzim lasos pchamim lasos barzel b'Shabbos. In the area where Rabbi Eliezer reigned, and he was the final word and authority in Posek, they did exactly that. In a situation where they didn't have an ismal prepared, they would do whatever is necessary to manufacture it on Shabbos. And also, b'mkomosho Rabbi Yossi Aglili, now we have another example of a halacha which was accepted in a very limited locale, and we accept that leniency because the Rav, the Mora Hora, who paskins halacha in that area, accepted that leniency rule. And in the place of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, they would eat chicken with milk. Chicken cooked with milk. It sounds very strange, but that's what they did. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili, as we'll soon see, derives from the Psukim that when it says, Los Vashel Gedi B'chalevi Mo, it's referring to meat to the exclusion of chicken. And the Gemara tells us a story about this. Levi Ikla Lebei Yosef Rishpa. Levi was invited to the house of Yosef, who was a trapper. He used to trap birds, and that's why he's called Rishba. And Krivule, they put in front of him Resha, the head of the Tavasa. Tavasa is a kind of a bird. It was the head of a bird. Bechalva. And it was cooked in milk. Veloachal. He didn't want to eat it. Kiyosalakami de Rebbe. When Levi came in front of Rebbe and he told Rebbe this story, Amale, Rebbe responded, Amai lo teshamtinu. You know, you should have put these people who are eating chicken with milk into shamta. Shamta is another word in Aramaic for nidu. You should have put them in a quasi-excommunication state. Amale, so Levi responded to Rebbe and he said, Asrei de Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira havi. This city where Yosef Rashba lived and where they ate chicken with milk was the locale of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. The Amina, and I thought to myself, Dilma perhaps, Darash Lahu, perhaps Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Paskin like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that you're allowed to cook chicken with milk and eat that combination. And therefore there's not even a violation of a Darabbanan. We may accept Rabbi Yossi Aglili on a Doraisa level, but on a Darabbanan level we don't allow chicken with milk. But Rabbi Yossi Aglili allowed it, lechatchila kedasu kedit. You know, chicken with milk was a mainstay of their menu, of their diet. Tisnan, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says in the Mishnah, Nemar, it says in the Pasuk, Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela. The Nemar, at the end of that Pasuk, says, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'chalev Imo, Esha Osu Mishum Nevela, Osu Mishum Basu B'chalev. That which is included in the Isu Nevela, and it means you have to shecht it in order to eat its meat. If it dies without shechit, it's nevela, you can't eat its meat. Osu V'basu B'chalev. Then, it's included in basu b'chalav. However, that which doesn't require shechita, for example, dagim, fish, all you need is asifa to gather it up from the water, or chagavim, certain kinds of grasshoppers that they knew were kosher, they don't require shechita, and those items do not lend themselves to the isur basu b'chalav. So you can have milchaka grasshoppers for dinner, and that's not a problem. Well, for that matter, fish with milk, which the Ashkenazim eat. The Sfaradim have a problem with that for a health reason. But anyway, Oaf, Sha'asa Mishum Nevela. Now, if a bird dies without Shechita, you're not allowed to eat its meat. Yachol, if I would have assumed, Yehei Asa Levashel B'Cholav. Talmud Lomar B'Chalev Imo. The Torah specifies that this animal has milk from its mother. Yotza of she'en lo chalev em. This is coming to exclude chicken, because chicken doesn't have the ability to suckle its young. And in those areas that accepted Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and perhaps Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra accepted Rabbi Yossi Aglili, they were allowed to eat chicken with milk, because that's the horah, that's the psak of that local rabbi. On Rabbi Yitzchak Yer Achas Hois of the Eretz Yisrael Sheyu Osim Krabi Eliezer, there was in fact a city in the land of Israel which Paskin then implemented the Psak of Rabbi Eliezer, and they brought an Ismail through Rishus HaRabim for the purpose of Mila. Vayumesim Bismanam, no one died prematurely. There was no divine punishment meted out to that city. V'lo od el shepamachas gozer malchus or shag zeral Yisrael al milav al osei lo gozer. The Roman government decreed that we will not tolerate any mila, any circumcision. But in that city, which followed the ruling of Rabbi Eliezer, because they accepted Rabbi Eliezer as their moral horah, there the decree was not implemented. So you see that God, in His divine providence, revealed that they were doing the right thing, even though, again, they were carrying something in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, they were manufacturing a metal knife, but they were following their Rebbe. Their Rebbe is Rabbi Eliezer. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer called Mitzvah Shekiblu Aleihem V'Simcha. This is a little bit of an Agadita, that Mila was accepted by the people of Israel with joy. They could have felt otherwise. Kigo Mila Dixiv, David HaMelech says, Sasa Nochi al Imrasecha Kamotse Shol Rav. The word Imrasecha in Lashon Yachid is a reference to the first Imra, the first mitzvah that was ever given. That was the mitzvah that was given to Avram Avinu, the mitzvah of Mila, and that was accepted with great joy. Is Adayin Osim Osob Besimcha. If it was originally accepted with joy, then for all posterity, the Jews implement that mitzvah with simcha. Called mitzvah Shekivu Aleim Ketota, but in contrast, there were mitzvahs where the Jewish people were not excited about it. Kigon Arayos, all sorts of prohibitions about incest and women that you're not allowed to get married to, they weren't used to those concepts. So when it was first presented, they accepted it out of pure compulsion. They were compelled to accept it. They were not happy about it. When Moshe Rabbeinu presented the laws, the strict laws of Arayos, the people were crying, Limishpachosav. What did it mean for their families? Al iske mishpachos, on things that have to do with marriage and who you're allowed to marry. And Adayin Osim Osav Bektata. Even today, they still, when it comes to marriage, they're still a little bit upset about it. And that's based on a principle called the Lekha Ksuba del Rabbi Tigra, that every marriage requires, it must have some sort of fight, some sort of battle. Whether it's a battle about money, it's a battle where the couple will live, when the wedding should take place, who should get the kibudim, and 1,001 other issues. There's always going to be an issue in marriage and some sort of ktata, some sort of altercation and friction. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ben Elazar Omer, Kol mitzvah shemosu Yisrael atz nafsham aleihem, l'misa v'shas gzeres malchus, kigon avodas kolchom u'mila, adayin hi muchzekes biyodom. Those mitzvahs that during the course of Jewish history, the Jews were willing to sacrifice their lives for that mitzvah, to observe that mitzvah, those mitzvahs are still very strong in their hands. Like Avodah Zorah, throughout history we were forced at gunpoint and knife point and fire and so forth to worship idols. We refused to do so. And they tried to undermine Mila, but we always found a way to do the Mila underground. Is Adayini Muchzekes Biyodah. But mitzvah Shalom Masra Atzmo Lelu Misa B'Shaskzeres Machus Kon Tefillin Adayini Marupa Biyodah. Tefillin, we were a little bit more hesitant to violate during a Shas Hashmad when the persecution was such that the decree was against tefillin. We didn't necessarily give up our lives for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillin, and therefore tefillin is not as strong as it should be. The Yomar of Yanai, tefillin tzrichim guf naki. In the case of tefillin, you have to guarantee that your body is clean, and people are not as careful as they should be. And who is the paradigm of the love for tefillin? That's a person by the name of Elisha Baal Knafayim. Elisha, the one who has wings. So the Gemara says, Maihi, what do you mean by guf noki? That the body has to be clean. What's the big deal? Omar Abaye, shalo yafiach b'hem. He's not allowed to pass air, pass gas. And Rav Amar Shlo Yishem Bahem, but Rav one went a step further, you shouldn't even fall asleep and doze off while you're wearing tefillin because you might come to pass gas. Vamai Karle Elisha Baal Knafayim, this person Elisha who had such a love for the mitzvah of tefillin, why do you call him the man with the wings? Shepamachas Gozer Malchus or Shogzer El Yisrael Shkol Aminiach Tefillin Arosho Yikru Es Mocho. The Roman government decreed against tefillin that if anyone gets caught wearing tefillin, then they will just completely smash him, and they'll kill his, knock out his brains. And Elisha, during the Shas HaShmad, would defy the decree publicly, and he wore his tefillin in the marketplace. Vero Kazdar Echad. And one of the officers of the Malchus saw him from a distance, and Rutz Milfanov, Elisha starts running away. Verutz Achrov, but this Kazdar is running after him. Kevan Shigia Etzlo, when the Kazdar came close to him, Nitolon, Elisha took his tefillin off his head. Achazusan Biyado, and he was holding it in his hand. Omelo, so the Kazdar says to him, Abiyodcha, what do you have in your hand? Omelo Kanfe Yona, I have the wings of a dove. Poshadis Yado, Elisha opened his hands, and a great miracle happened. The Nimtzu Ba Kanfe Yona, and the dove flew away with his wings. Lufiha Chayukorino So Baal Knafayim, they called him the man with the wings. And there's a long discussion here about why Yona, why did the miracle happen with a dove? And this has to do with the metaphor of Shir HaShirim, Yonasi Samasi, the Jewish people, the Knesset Yisrael, as the Kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are called or compared to a Yonah, to a dove. A dove is very loyal to its mate. And there's also a long discussion here about the Knafayim of a Yonah, why that's so significant. In any event, at the time of this Gezerah, Elisha was willing to give up his life for tefillin, but others were not so willing to do so. So the pasuk compares Knesset Yisrael to Kanfei Yonah. I'll read to you the English translation of this pasuk. The wings, you should be like the wings of a dove, God is saying about Israel, covered with silver, and her pinions with brilliant gold. My Yonah Zu Knafel Megino Soleil, just like in this simile, the dove has wings which it spreads to protect it. And if anyone tries to attack it, the dove uses its wings to fend off attackers. That's unique to a dove. Af Yisrael Mitzvos Megino Soleil, so too in the case of Israel, the mitzvos of Hashem protect them. And one of those mitzvos, of course, is tefillin. And since the mitzvos are compared to the wings of a dove that protected tefillin, is compared here to the wings of a dove. Elisha was in need of the protection of the mitzvah, and so it's appropriate that we refer to his tefillin as dove's wings. Omar Rav Abba, Rabbi Abba Bar Rav Ada, Omar Rav Yitzchak. Pam achas shochachu velo heviu Ismael may erev Shabbos. They didn't bring the knife on erev Shabbos. They viu b'Shabbos, and they carried it derech gagos v'derech chatzeros. They carried it from one rooftop to the next, and through courtyards. And we'll see the significance of that as we turn to Daf Kuf Lamed Amid Beis. So on Shabbos, they took it through courtyards and from roof to roof without what's called an Erev Chatzeros. And the Rabbanu were not happy about that. Shelo Baratzon, Rabbi Eliezer. Now, if it was the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and they say, well, you should have brought the Ismail on Erev Shabbos, we're not going to allow you to bring it on Shabbos, then I understand. But why was Rabbi Eliezer upset? Maskif lo Rav Yosef, shelo baratzon Rabbi Eliezer, adarav, on the contrary, Rabbi Eliezer hu deshari, he's the one who allows you to violate Shabbos for Mila, even if it only means bringing the Yismil through Rishus HaRabim. V'chi teiman, if you'll say shelo baratzon Rabbi Eliezer, deshari afil Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Eliezer was upset, he was disappointed, why did they do it in this roundabout way, you know, moving it from one rooftop to another, through one courtyard to another? They should have just taken it straight away into Rishus HaRabim. So if that's what it means, then you're implying that Rabbi Eliezer was unhappy about it, but the Chachamim would have been happy about it, or were happy about it. El Baratzon Rabbanon, the Asru Derech Rishus HaRabim. That the Rabbanon would not allow you to carry it through Rishus HaRabim, but if need be, they'll allow you to carry it through Chatzeros without an Eruv. Visharu derech gagos v'derech Chatzeros kapifos. And they would allow it without an Eruv, in the absence of an Eruv, because it's only a violation of a Derabbanon. On a Deraisa level, all these places are surrounded by mechitzos, partitions. On all sides they have a status of Rishus HaYochid. You're allowed to carry. But the Rabbanon prohibited it. So here the Rabbanon would be a little bit more lenient for the ultimate goal of Mila on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, no, that doesn't make any sense. Mishari, Hatanya, we have a brisa that says the Rabbanon would not allow violating even on a Rabbanon level Shabbos for the sake of Mila, when he could have done it on Erev Shabbos. Kishem Shem Mevino so derech Rishus HaRabim, kach ein Mevino so lo derech Gagos, lo derech Kapifos, lo derech Hatzeros. Even though in all these methods of carrying it through the rooftops and the courtyards, he only violates maximum Eid Rabbanon, that too is prohibited. So we go back now to the drawing board, and we have to reinterpret this story that Rabbi Abba tells us the name Rabbi Yitzchak about Shalom Baratzon Chachamim. What does he mean that they took it derech gagos v'derech karpifos? Ela Amrav Ashi, shelo baratzon Rabbi Eliezer u'machlekuso. You have to add the machlekuso, meaning even those who disagreed and debated against Rabbi Eliezer, they are also unhappy. So both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim who disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer were both unhappy with this particular event, the way it took place. And the reason why Rabbi Eliezer was unhappy is because he held they could have taken it straight through Rishus HaRabim. The reason why the Rabbanan were unhappy with it is because they held that to carry something from one chatzah to the other chatzah without an Eruv is a violation of a Rabbanan. Ella, but the story says that there was somebody who was happy about it. Who was happy about it? Ella Baratzon Rabbi Shimon. This would satisfy the shita of Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Shimon hold? That even for a dvar reshus, forget about a mitzvah, you're allowed to carry something from one reshus to the other in the case of gagos, karpifos, and chatzeros. Okay. Disnan, let's first read Rabbi Shimon, whose words are recorded in a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Erevin. So also from now until the end of today's Shia, we're going to be learning Masechta Erevin. And it's always difficult to learn Masechta Erevin from a sugya in Masechta Shabbos. You know, you don't have enough. There's so many innuendos here and nuances of overlap of different principles in Erevin, but we'll try to do the best we can. And Rabbi Shimon Omer in the Mishnah it says, Echad gagos v'echad karpefos v'echad chatzeros, kulam rishus echad lahem, echad heim, lekelim sheshovsu b'sochan. Hello, lekelim sheshovsu b'soch habayis. We have the following. There's a concept called Shvisa, which means that at the onset of Shabbos, we will determine where a utensil belongs. And wherever in any Rishus that kli is to be found, at the point of Knisas HaShabbos, that's the Rishus which bounds and limits your ability to move that kli around. You're allowed to move that utensil around within the same reshus where it was shoves, where it accepted the Shabbos, so to speak, but not from that reshus to another reshus. So, for example, if you have a kli, now, what I'm explaining now is the Rabbanan sheet, and then I'll explain Rabbi Shimon. If you have a kli that was shoves on Erev Shabbos in a chatzer, then you would not be allowed to take it from a chatzer to an area called a karpaf. Karpaf is a larger area that's non-residential. Or, for example, if the kli was shoves in a karpaf, you would not be allowed to take it onto a gag, onto a roof. So these rishuyos, according to Chachamim, one called gagos, the other called chatzeros, and the third called karpifos, they're all separate rishuyos as far as shvisas kelim is concerned, where the keli was shoves, you can't take it from one category to the other. And Rabbi Shimon allowed it. Rabbi Shimon held that the only problem that exists as far as shvisa of a kli, that means that we limit the reshus in which the kli is allowed to be moved because it was found in that reshus on Erev Shabbos is only a bias. All the other reshuyos are considered one and the same as far as the makom shvisa of the keli on Erev Shabbos. So according to Reb Shimon, if the keli was shoves in a chatzer, you're allowed to take it into another chatzer, you're allowed to take it into a karpaf, you're allowed to take it into a gag. The only prohibition will apply if this kli was shoves in the bias, and now you're not allowed to take it out of that bias because the bias has a separate status of a reshus. And if there's no Erev Chatzer, now, again, if you set up an Erev Chatzeros, that's already a different story. An Erev Chatzeros means that the batim and the Chatzeros now are merged into one entity, and all the Chatzeros belong to Kilu, one bias, and the Chatzer is like the extension of the bias. So then there's no problem, because just like we said, you're allowed to take this Keli from one side of your house to the other side of the house, if it was Shoveis on Erev Shabbos, you can take it from your Kli to the Chatzer, and from the Chatzer to the Kli. That's because you made an Erev Chatzeros. But in the absence of an Erev Chatzeros, the bias remains a separate, restricted area as far as the Keli is concerned. If the Keli was Shoveis on Erev Shabbos within the bias, you're not allowed to take it out into the Chatzer. And now we get back to our story about the Izmel that was brought on Shabbos for the sake of Milah through Gagos, Chatzeros, and Karpifos. And what that means is that with the onset of Shabbos, the Izmel was Shoveis in one of these various Rishuyos, these various areas. The Rabbanan will not allow you, in the absence of an Eruv, to carry it from one Rishus to the other, from a Gag to a Karpaf to a Chatzer, etc. But Rav Shimon would allow it. So when they carried the Izmel from a Chatzer to a Karpaf, etc., etc., even in the absence of an Eruv, they were reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And that was Baratza Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was the local rabbi over there. They accepted his psak, and therefore it was permissible. Boy, mine Rabbi Zera mirav Asi. So Rabbi Zera raises the following question to Rav Asi. And again, we're talking about a chefetz, an object, a utensil, that was Shoveis with the onset of Shabbos in a mavui. And a mavui is an alleyway, and many different houses spill into a common alleyway. The alleyway will take you out into the public area, and you're allowed to carry within the mavui if all the members of the house, or all the household owners that share that mavui, will get together and do what's called shitufei mavos. And they gather together and they set up a piece of bread that's represents all of them. And the mavui itself requires what's called a korah and a lechi. That means at the entranceway into the alleyway from Rosh Hasharabim, or if you want to call it the exit from the alleyway out into Rosh Hasharabim, you need to set up one of two things. Either a lechi, which is a vertical pole, or a korah, which is a beam, a horizontal beam on top. So the question was asked to Rav Asi, in the case of, let's say you have a mavui, this alleyway, which is closed on three sides, so it has three mechitzos, but on the fourth side it's open, and therefore all those who use, the different household owners that use and enjoy the benefits of that mavui, they all have to get together and they have to create a sheet of muvos, shalo nishtatfu bo, but they did not join together. So that means that each one of the different household owners who take from the house into the chatzer, each one to his own chatzer, and then all the chatzeros now have entranceways into this mavui, this one common mavui, is ma'al etaltel bekulo. If you have kalim that were in the mavui at the time of Knisas HaShabbos, are you allowed to move those kalim within the shetach, within the area of the mavui? Now on this, there's a long footnote here. He says that, I'll just very quickly, maybe if we have the time to review some of the main points, he says here that b'shkiyas hachama, going into Shabbos, these kalim were in the mavui, not in the house. If the kalim were in the house at the time of the onset of Shabbos, the Gemara doesn't have any doubt about it. And that is absolutely clear, that in the absence of an Erev Chatzeros, the owners of the homes are not allowed to take kalim out of their homes into the Chatzer, into the courtyard. because there are many houses that share one courtyard, and without an Erev Chatzeros, you're not allowed to take a kli from your house out into the chatzer, because the house belongs to one person, and the chatzer is a partnership for all the houses that have access and use that common chatzer. But let's say, for example, there was an Eruv of the Balabatim in that chatzer, which allows them to take kelim from the house into the chatzer. But nevertheless, they're not allowed to take a kli from this chatzer to another chatzer. Okay then, so that even if, let's say, a number of different Balei Batim join together in one Eruv for that chatzer, but if they want to take a kli from that chatzer into another chatzer, that requires a second Eruv Chatzeros. So that the first Eruv Chatzeros will help for all the Batim that spill into that common chatzer. But then there are other Chatzeros, and you want to take something from your chatzer out into another chatzer, that you can't do without another Eruv Chatzeros, to get the various Bali Chatzeros together. And certainly, when you have many, many different Chatzeros that share one common alleyway that takes you out into Rosh Hashanah, that's called a Mavui, for sure, you're not allowed to carry these kelim from your house into your chatzah, that's the chatzah that's common to the other balabatim where there was an Erev, but from that chatzah to another chatzah, and certainly not into a mavui, where there are many, many different chatzeros that have access and enjoy the benefit of that mavui. But what's the status of kelim that were not in your house with the onset of Shabbos, but they were in the chatzah? And Rabbi Shimon holds that the status of the chatzer and the status of the mavui is one and the same. So from a chatzer to a mavui, you're allowed to carry. Is mutar lotzia me'achatzer l'mavui? So again, if you have kelim that was shoves in your house, you could take them into a chatzer. That's common to many houses because you made an Erev Chatzeres, but if you want to take it from that chatzer to another chatzer, that's for sure prohibited. And Rabbi Shimon says that if you have kelim that were not in your house, but rather in your chatzer, and now we're going to consider the chatzer and the mavui, according to Rabbi Shimon, as one extension, then you could take from that chatzer mutar lahotzia me'achatzer l'mavui b'li shituf muvos. Okay. So fine. Now, you're allowed to take from the chatzer to the mavui, and there's no shituf muvos. What about carrying within the mavui itself? Ma'u l'talta b'kulo. So we have kelim that with Kedushas HaShabbos found themselves in the mavui. Shall we limit the tiltal, the carrying of this keli within the mavui to 4 amos? Or will we allow you to carry the keli within the mavui from one end of the mavui to the other? What's the suffix? Mi amrinan, should we say that the mavui kechatzer dami, the mavui has the same status of a chatzer? Ma chatzer afal gavdalo ervo. Is mutal taltel bekulo. So again, without the Erev Chatzeros, although you're not allowed to take a kli that was shoves in your house and bring it out to the chatzer, but if the kli was in the chatzer, then you're allowed to carry it anywhere within the chatzer. Is mutal taltel bekulo. Is high nami here too, when you find a kli in a mavui with knisas HaShabbos, and that mavui has, for all intents and purposes, the same status as a chatzer, because just like a chatzer is surrounded by mechitzos, the mavui is surrounded on 3 sides by mechitzos, and you're allowed to carry, you're allowed, right? Shal yidei shlosh ha-mechitzos. the status of this mavi is equivalent to that of a shusayachid, is afal gavdalo nishtatfu bo, even if the various b'nei chatzeros, you have many chatzeros that share that same mavui, and they never made a shituf muvos, is mutal taltil bekulo, just like at a chatzer, where without, in the absence of an erev chatzeros, you're not allowed to carry from the house into the chatzer, but within the chatzer you're allowed to carry. Here too, within the mavui, even without a shituf muvos, you're allowed to carry from one end of the mavui to the other. Dilma, or should we say lo dami lechatzer, that a mavui is different than a chatzer. Why? Because chatzer is lay arba mechitzos. Chatzer is surrounded by four mechitzos on all four sides. Aval hai, but this mavui less lay arba mechitzos. The mavui only has three mechitzos. In one end of the mavui, that entranceway leads you into Rishus HaRab, so it doesn't have a mechitza. Now you could put up a lechi or a korah, but that's not what we call a mechitza gemura. It's not really enclosing the area, so it's not the same as a chatzer. So although we're going to allow you to carry, even in the absence of an erev chatzeris, within a chatzer, we're not going to allow you to carry within a mavui in the absence of a shituf muvos, because the mavui is not on the same status as a chatzer. It doesn't have four full mechitzos. Inami. Okay, we have another way of distinguishing between a mavui and a chatzer, and that is a chatzer islei diurim. A chatzer is a residential area. People go out there, they eat their food in a chutz, in a courtyard, they take a sunbath there, whatever they do. And therefore, the privacy of a chutz indicates that it's a rishus hayachid. Masha enkein hai, in this case of a mavui, less bei diurin, right? Nobody enjoys the benefit of this alleyway. It's just a way of getting up and down, you know, from Rishus HaYochid, from Rishus HaRabim into your house. And therefore, it looks a little bit more, this mavui, like a public area. And if we're going to allow you to carry within that mavui, people might think you're allowed to carry in a public area. Shasik. So Rav Asi did not respond to Rabbi Zera's question. V'lo omalei v'lo midi. He didn't say a word. However, Zimnin, on another occasion, Ashkechai, Rabbi Zera found Rav Asi, the Yosef Vika Omar. He was teaching a statement, a ruling of Rabbi Shimon, or actually, it's a story that he heard from Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, Bishum Rabbi Yudah ben Nasi, about Rabbi Yudah ben Nasi, Pamacha Shachu Velo Eviu Ismail. Be Erev Shabbos, they view b'Shabbos. They brought the Ismail on Shabbos. Vaya davar kasha lachachamim. The chachamim were very alarmed about this. Heich menichim divrei chachamim. How could they violate the words of the rabbis who said that you're not allowed to bring an Ismail on Shabbos, not even through an area which is the Rabbanon, as we said before, Gagos for Karpifos, the Osim Kerabi Eliezer, and they are following in the footsteps and relying on the leniency of Rabbi Eliezer. Chada, first of all, we're not going to be happy about that because Rabbi Eliezer Shamutihu. In general, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer because in a certain incident, which the Gemara records in Bab Metzia, about a famous machlokus about Tanur Shalachnoi, about the Tumah Tara status of a certain oven, Rabbi Eliezer refused to accept the opinion of the Chachomim and they put him into a whammy. They gave him an excommunication. So we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. We owed, and nevertheless, even if he wasn't a Shamuti, is Yachid V'Rab Malocha K'Rabim, we always paskin like the Chachomim. So this is the story that Rav Asi is teaching, he's relating, and he adds the following comment to the story. This is all Rav Asi. The Omar Rabbi Oshia, and Rav Oshia tried to defend the particular activity that took place against the argument of the Chachamim about taking the Ismail out. She'elis Es Rabbi Yehuda goes there. Apparently this story took place with a certain Moel, and his name is Rabbi Yehuda Gozer. The Omer Li, and he tells me that, you know what they did? They didn't carry the Ismail through a Rishus HaRabim. Heaven forbid. Only Rabbi Eliezer would allow that. But we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer. But Mavui Shenon Shtatvu Bohava. This was a Mavui where they didn't make a sheet of Muvos. The Aisu Mehai Reishal Ahai Reish. And they only carry the Ismail from one end of the Mavui to the other end of the Mavui. Now, it seems like they were able to implement the Mila at the other end of the Mavui. They only had to carry the Ismail from one end to the other. Which means that the way Rav Asi is telling over the story and quoting Rav Oshia, it would seem that it was perfectly legit and permissible to carry from one end of the Mavui to the other. And Rabbi Zera, when he heard this, he was wondering, gee, when I asked you this question, Rabbi Asi, you didn't give me an answer. Omer Leh, so Rabbi Zera turns to Rav Asi, says, Svir Leh Lamar, can I derive from you that Movi Shalom Nishtatva Mutal Italta Bakulo? I had asked you this very question, and you didn't give me an answer. And now I want to derive from your recording of this story that you allow carrying from one end to the Mavui to the other. So Rabbi Yossi says, you're right, Rabbi Zeir, you derived the proper conclusion. So Rabbi Zeir turns to Rabbi Yossi and he says, Vazimnin boy minocha, on a previous early occasion, I'd asked you this question, you didn't give me the right answer, you didn't give me any answer. So Rabbi Zeir offers an explanation. As he asks the question, he gives the answer. And he says, Dilma, perhaps, Agav shitvach, asyalach gemarach. In other words, as you were reviewing your Gemara, things came back to you. You know, you were telling over the story of Reish Lakish and the whole Maisa with Rav Oshia and so forth and so on, Rebbe. Amalei, so Rav Asi says, in. Agav shitvach, rehitna li gemari. As I was going through my studies in this sugya, and I was telling over the story about that happened back there with Rebbe and so forth, I reminded myself what the halacha is based on the statement of Rabbi Oshi. Itmar, oh Rabbi Zeira Marav, Mavui Shalom Nishtatfu Bo, Ein Metaltalim Bo, Ela Bi Arba Amos. So that Rabbi Zeira says in the name of Rav, as opposed to Rav Asi that we just discussed earlier, that if you have a Mavui and they didn't make a sheet of Mavos, then you're not allowed to carry from one end of the Mavui to the other. El Arba Amos, you're limited to four Amos. Omar Abaye, Ha Milsa Mora, Rabbi Zeira Velo Pirsha. Although we heard this statement of Rabbi Zeira in the name of Rav, but we didn't hear exactly the nuances and the details of the story. Adi osa Rabba baravua upersha. But Rabba interpreted this statement of Rav. The Omar of Nachman Omar Rabba avua marav mavui shalon ishtatfu bo ervu chatzeros imbatim ein metaltul bo el arbabas lo ervu chatzeros imbatim mutal etaltul bekulo. Rav said that was there an Erev Chatzeros with the Batim? If that be the case, then if there was no Sheet of Muvos, then you're not allowed to carry Kalim within the Mavui, except for 4 amos. But if Lo Erev Chatzeros and Abatim, if the Batim had not created an Erev Chatzeros, which would allow them to, as we said before, to take a utensil from the bais into the chotzer, is then mutal etal to bakula. Then you're allowed to carry from one end of the mavui to the other. This is very counterintuitive. You know, because they didn't make an erev chatzeros, therefore, we're going to allow them to carry within the mavui. Had they made an erev chatzeros, they cannot carry within the mavui. Omalei Rav Chanina chozola rabba, maishna. This doesn't make any sense. What's the difference over here? Whether Ervu or Lo Ervu. Ki Ervu Chatzeros im Batim. You're telling me that if the Chatzeros all the various chatzeros, made an Erev with the batim, those batim that pour into those chatzeros and partner with them, is then you're telling me that you're not allowed to carry in the mavui because what? They made an Erev. And there's only one explanation why that would be possible. Mishum. Denitku chatzeros venasu batim. That now that they made an Erev chatzeros, all those different houses that border on the single and partner with the use of one single chatzah, they all now became one bias. And the status of a chatzer, the existence of a chatzer, is history. Because you've turned the chatzer into a bias. The Rav Letameh, and Rav is reflecting his own opinion elsewhere, the Amar Rav, Ein Mavui Nitar Belechi Vekorah, you cannot carry it a mavui by using a lechi or a korah. Ad sheyu, unless you have the following condition met, and now we're on Kof Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, and that is batim v'chatzeros psuchim l'socho. A mavui lends itself to tikkun mana, according to Rav, if the following two conditions are prevalent. Number one, you have batim that lead into this mavui, and you have chatzeros that lead into the mavui. Now, as a result of the fact that you made an heir of chatzeros, you no longer have chatzeros, you only have batim. The hacha, and here, all the chatzeros became batim. Batim iko chatzeros leka, so you no longer have chatzeros, and therefore, you cannot rely on the efficacy of a lechi and a korah to be matir mavui, because although you do have batim, but you don't have chatzeros. If that be the case, kilo erevu nami, even in the case where there was no erev chatzeros, then lechazinu lahani batim kiman destimi domu, right, the batim are considered kilu closed off. What does that mean, closed off? Means what separates the batim from the mavui are the chatzeros, and therefore chatzeros iko batim leka. Now you cannot say that the batim border and spill into the mavui because it's the chatzeros that spill into the mavui, and the batim are completely closed because they are completely cut off because there was no eruv chatzeros between the batim and the chatzeros. So how can you tell me that paradoxically, counterintuitively, that if they didn't make an Erev Chatzeros, then you can carry in the Mavui? If they didn't make an Erev Chatzeros, then you have Chatzeros without Batim. Just like Rav said, if you don't have Chatzeros, but you have Batim in the case of Erev Chatzeros, that's no good. So too, it shouldn't be good if you only have Chatzeros and no Batim. So the Gemara answers, Efshar demevatlele reshusa dekula legabi chad. Perhaps we could suggest that during the course of Shabbos, one or many of the Balabatim would do what's called Bittul Rishus. They could say, you know, I no longer own my Rishus in the Chatzer, and they give it over in the favor of the other Bnei HaChatzer. And if each one does such a thing, then Mutul Lahotzi Mi'abayis L'Chatzer. This is another way of circumventing the requirement of Erev Chatzeros and allowing you to carry from your house into the Chatzer. And how do you do so? By being mevatel your reshus on Shabbos, and that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. And then you're allowed to carry from the bais into the chatzer, because you are mevatel the reshus. So it's all one bais. And it accomplishes the same goal as an eruv. So he wants to say that in this case, what happens is that the mavui now has chatzeros, right? What was our argument? That there's chatzeros without batim. Yeah, but there is one bias, because there's one bias to which all the other batim were mavata l'rishus. So you have one bias, and you have the chatzeros. And therefore, you're allowed to carry in the mavui. Sumara says, no, that can't be. So, bias ika batim leka. Rav requires not one bias, but a minimum of two batim. So the Gemara answers, Efshe de mitzafrad palga de yoma legabi chad. Maybe all the people, the batim that share that one chotzer during the morning hours, they mevatel it for one particular bias. Umi palga de yoma lepanya, but for the second half of the day, legabi chad, they chose another one of the Bnei Achotzer, they were vatil their house towards that Ben Achotzer. So it comes after the two batim. So Gemara says, no. Sof sof be'in the disa lahai, lesa dahai. That even though during the morning hours he had one bias, but now they decided to mevatel themselves to a different bias, in the afternoon there's another bias, he only had one bias at one particular time. Elam Rav Ashi, mi garam lechatzera shei asru, batim vileka. Okay, so Rabosai, I see we ran out of time. And we're here on the top of Kuf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph, and we're up to Ella Omar Rav Asi, approximately 10 lines down from the top. And Mitzvah Hashem will continue and finish this up tomorrow on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph.